Tonight, in your Bibles, in the book of Jude, let's read a few verses together this evening. The book of Jude and verse number 3, and we're going to read down through verse 11, just for the context. Jude, verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities round about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know they But what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." We have looked in last week, what I thought we might be able to deal with in 1 week was the demeanor of these false teachers or false professors. And as you will remember, I trust, last week we did not get through. I had enumerated some 15 different behaviors or conducts of these false teachers or false professors that are being spoke of. I just remind you very quickly, beginning there at verse 4 all the way over through the close of verse number 19, the bulk of this short letter centers around the doctrine, the demeanor, ultimately the destiny, and the description of these false prophets. And I want to tonight really hone in on verse number 11. And I'd like for us to think about this evening this subject, as we talk about these false prophets, and consider this, that deceivers or false teachers always draw a crowd. Always draw a crowd. Last week we only got a little way into our study of the actions or the behavior or the conduct of these false prophets. I remind you, last week we said this, that wrong doctrine always leads to wrong living. Erroneous doctrine, falsehood, always leads to a wrong way of living, to a false way of living before God. These, if you will remember, verse number 4 says that these certain men, and that's what the bulk of the book is about, the behavior of these certain men, they crept in unawares and brought with them this lewd, corrupt doctrine, which they sought to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, or twist the grace of God into a license to sin. And not only that, denying, really, if you get into the study itself, denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, denying that Christ was who he said he was. And then here's the most important part of that. They did all of this under the cloak of Christianity. They did all of this. And what we'll look at together this evening, all of this is done under the guise. I said that a lot of times last week, and there's a reason why. Under the guise, under the cloak of Christianity, people looked at them and thought by the outward appearance that they were indeed believers, disciples of Christ, but they are not. They are not disciples, they are deceivers. And what Jude warns about these false teachers, what we'll notice tonight is that what they teach and how they act draws a crowd. And we need to be aware of that. I've given some thought to this, and you may say, well, preacher, I don't know what all of that has to do with us. Well, it has a lot to do with us today. We need to be aware of false teachers, not only outside, but some that may creep in unawares, just what like Jude is talking about here, that we are aware of their pernicious ways, their deceitful ways. Here we see that Jude describes these false teachers, these false professors of faith. He illustrates them by describing them or comparing them to three Old Testament characters in verse number 11. They are compared to Cain, they are compared to Balaam, and they are compared to Korah. And very quickly, let us learn something here from Jude. And I want to instruct those that teach the word, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you fill in. Here we see Jude using biblical illustrations. And I think that's a good practice to have when you're teaching, and whether it's a class to young or whether it's a class to those who are older. When you're searching for illustrations, it's often good if you can find biblical illustrations, if you can find a biblical example of what you're talking about. It doesn't always have to be the case, because we know Jude, if you remember last week, Jude quoted from what I'm going to call an extra biblical source when he talked about that discussion or debate that took place between Michael, the chief angel, and Satan. He was quoting one of the books of the Apocrypha, and I'm going to say that it is an extra biblical source. So every illustration doesn't have to come from the Bible, but if you want a good illustration that you know is true, teachers, you can always depend on Bible illustrations. They make good illustrations, and that's what Jude is doing. Jude is describing the demeanor or the conduct of these false teachers, and he describes it by comparing them to three apostates. By three Old Testament, infamous Old Testament characters. And so I'm not saying that every time you want to illustrate something, you have to use biblical examples, but I'm going to say it is a good thing to do that also. And anyway, these three examples that Jude gives us, and I've got to get into them, they are notoriously bad people. Jude says these false teachers are like these three individuals. And when he says that, you understand he's not bragging on them at all. When he compares them to Cain, to Balaam, and to Korah, Jude is not saying these are some good fellows and you ought to follow them. Oh no, that's not what he is saying at all. When Jude says these false teachers are like these three, he is saying they are rotten to the core, and you best avoid them if at all possible. Let us learn from Jude as he uses them as an illustration. My dad used to say this a lot. You can learn something from anybody, even if you're learning what not to do. And that is the case here with these three. Jude uses them as an illustration of what not to do. Don't be like these, because here's what these false teachers are. They are like these. And here, the great error that these false teachers are propagating. You realize now, understand, Jude is writing this letter, I think, to a local church or a group of local churches who Jude is aware of. Probably they are made up of mainly Jewish Christians, those who would have known the Old Testament. What sense would it have made for him to talk about Cain, Balaam, and Korah if he was writing to people that never heard of Cain, Balaam, or Korah. So probably he is writing to a church or group of churches that were made up predominantly of saved Jewish individuals. And he tells them, you remember those guys y'all read about in the Old Testament? Well, these teachers that have crept into the church now, they're just like those three. What was the sin of these three? How did these three individuals that Jude cites, how did they conduct themselves? And how did Jude see their character in these false teachers? Notice, first of all, it says in verse number 11, woe unto them. And I guess maybe I'll get back to that woe some of these times. But woe unto them. Verse 11 says, first of all, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And I just test your Old Testament memory. And you probably will easily remember, what was Cain's original offense? We know that he brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. God had designed and God had prescribed that sacrifices and offerings that were to be brought to him had to be animal sacrifices without the shedding of blood. That was an early precept taught by the Lord himself. He taught them that you cannot, by the works of your hands, appease God. What Cain did was essentially saying, I will worship God the way I want to worship God. I will appease God the way I want to appease God. I know. And don't you believe that Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel, or Abel and Cain, that if you're going to sacrifice, here's how you have to do it, because the Lord himself taught Adam and Eve that? Now here they are, the first two brothers. One does what's right. Abel does what is right. Cain does what is wrong. And God rejects Cain's sacrifice. He rejects it altogether. And Cain becomes angry and he becomes bitter about that. But he can't very well climb a ladder into heaven and dethrone God. So rather than taking out his anger and bitterness on God, he takes it out on his brother. He lashes out at Abel, and you know as well as I do, becomes guilty of the first murder here on earth. He kills his brother. Cain slew Abel. And I want to say to you that there are many false teachers today. What Jude addresses, and what he says, is that during the time that Jude sits down and God inspires him to write this letter, he says that there are many false teachers. What does he say? Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. There are many false teachers who have crept in unawares, who have gone the way of Cain. What does that mean? They have taught people that you can worship God the way you want to worship God. You can appease God the way you want to appease God. That's what Cain did. That's how he conducted himself. Cain, knowing and having been taught, I'm convinced, knowing and having been taught that God would not be pleased with his sacrifice, still said, I'll do it my way. And I want to say something to you. If you want to draw a crowd, all you have to do is start teaching people, if you want to worship God, just worship him the way you want to worship him. If you want to draw a crowd, just tell people, listen, it doesn't matter how you do it, just as long as you do it. Doesn't matter if you look at it in the case of Cain and Abel. Doesn't matter if you kill an animal. No, no, that's too narrow. That's too strict. People, you know, and I speak this tongue in cheek, people that have that idea that God can only be worshipped a certain way, they're too narrow. Listen, just do things the way you want to do them. After all, God knows what's on your heart. Now, you want to draw a crowd? That's all you have to do. Just start doing some teaching like that. Tell people, it don't matter what the book says, do what you feel like doing. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's not all that important to do things a certain way. Worship God the way you want to worship God. You want to draw a crowd, that'll draw a crowd. I make this simple confession to you. Sometimes I get, and I've said this before, sometimes I get discouraged and wonder what should we be doing differently in order to grow and not decrease. And there's all these temptations out there. And I'm telling you, it would be easy, just that easy, to give in and say, you know what, we don't have to have it this way, just whatever. And we would grow. All we have to do is let go a little bit of truth, and we grow. That's a fact. Under the guise, again, remember, these folks are doing this under the guise of Christianity. They're not coming out here and saying the Bible doesn't mean anything. They're not coming out here and saying ignore Jesus Christ. No, under the title of Christian evangelist, under the title of teacher, under the title of preacher, these people are saying, in our world today, are they not? Doesn't matter really, does it? Do it your own way. People somehow, and it amazes me how many who I want to believe are really saved, swallow that line, swallow that lie, is a better way to say it, hook, line, and sinker. You know, we say that expression a whole lot of times, and I couldn't help but thinking about this. Sometimes if Jerry and I go fishing, and you get a bite, like especially if you're crappy fishing, and you get a bite, and if you don't pull on them pretty quick, they'll swallow that bait, and they'll get that hook down in their throat. And if you know how it is, you get your hook down in their throat, buddy, they're just about gone. I mean, you're going to snatch them, you're going to catch them. But people that swallow hook, line, and sinker, they've got. I mean, they've been got, hadn't they? They're going to get reeled in. And people that have swallowed this, it doesn't matter. Theology has swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. I mentioned this last week. I'm just going to build back on it again that, you know, this God doesn't care mentality, it doesn't matter. As long as Brother Robbie was talking to me, he just ran into somebody last week with this, under the guise of Christianity, you worship God your way, I worship God my way, and it doesn't really matter. And I tell you what I told Brother Robbie, and he was asking about this, and he was trying to talk to someone, and you know, there's a whole lot of Bible that we have right here that's just wasted space if it doesn't matter what's right and what's wrong. You realize that God gave us a whole lot of Bible for no good reason if He doesn't care about truth. I am here this evening to submit to you that truth matters.
Amen.
That truth matters to God, and it ought to matter to you and me. Now, it'd be easy to say to people, hey, listen, do what you want to do. You know, you go left, you go right, you don't go at all, it don't matter. And you can grow a crowd like that. I don't know how many times I have heard, and I'll make some friends with this. I don't know how many times I have heard people say, you know, it don't really matter where you go to church just as long as you go. I've got some good old North Carolina language for that. Hogwash.
Right.
Hogwash. It matters where you go. Now, people say, well, now, preacher, you're too narrow. If it doesn't matter where you go, then why did Jesus even bother starting a church and promising that that church would continue?
Amen.
If it doesn't matter where you go. And listen, I'm going to say this, and I mean this with as much love as I can, but we as Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptists probably do as good a job of anybody of making a mountain out of a molehill, of making minor doctrines into major things. We're probably guilty of that. But listen, truth matters. All truth is not, I hope I can say this and you'll receive it in the way that I intend it. All truth is not of equal importance. Okay? In other words, does truth matter when you start mixing random chemicals? I'd say it matters what will happen when you do that. The truth matters in that. When you start building a skyscraper, does the truth matter when it comes to having a proper foundation, or the truth of the necessity of the steel or the concrete? Yes, that matters. And in biblical terms, in scriptural terms, truth matters. Not all truth is of the same significance. I guess what I'm trying to say, let me give you an illustration. It matters that some of the major and minor prophets in the Old Testament, it matters that some of them were sent to the northern empire of Israel, and it matters that some of them were sent to the southern empire of Judah. But what's more important than that is what they had to say.
Amen.
Okay? And so what I'm trying to say to you is, there are some people who want to make secondary issues primary, and they're wrong for that. And we need to be careful that we don't do that. But you cannot have a knee-jerk reaction to those that say that it doesn't matter, because it does matter. It matters where you go to church. It matters to me what my children are taught.
Amen.
Does it matter to you? Does it matter to you what your children or grandchildren are taught? It should matter to you. You know, there's the practical side of ministry where sometimes you want to say, man, I'm just thankful they're going anywhere, and I understand that, but at the same time, it does matter. These things, truth matters. Now, we can go the way of Cain and say, worship God the way you want to, and we can draw a crowd. Or we can go the way of Abel and do things the way God has said, and even if that means that somebody gets mad at us, then they just have to get mad at us. Please understand, there's some hills I'm not going to die on. I don't know if that makes sense to everybody. There's some things that I think are of terrible significance that I'm going to stand for as long as God gives me breath. But there's some other things that I think maybe the Bible teaches, but I'm not going to make a huge deal out of it. But I don't want to have a knee-jerk reaction and say none of those things matter, that it doesn't matter. You know, it don't matter. It matters. Truth matters. So that's what they did. They went the way of Cain. In other words, these false teachers told people what Cain did. Here's how Cain conducted himself. Worship God the way you want to. Appease God the way you want to. And how many false teachers are there out there in the world today that says, you go your way, I go my way, as long as we get there? False teachers. That's what they are. Secondly, not only have they gone the way of Cain, but it says in verse number 11 that they were like Balaam. Verse number 11, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. It's interesting to note that they didn't crawl and they didn't walk. They ran greedily. They were in a hurry to do what Balaam had done, and that is to sell himself to the highest bidder. Balaam was a prophet that was all about profit. But that's what he was. He was a prophet for hire. Go back. We studied this on Sunday nights. Balak, the king of Moab, I believe, had went to hire Balaam to curse or pronounce a cursing on Israel. And he tried his best and tried again to bring a cursing down on Israel, but God wouldn't let him. What Balaam was a prophet for hire. You tell me what you want, and that's what I'll preach. You tell me what you want said, and I'll say it. You want me to bring or pronounce a cursing on Israel? Show me the money and I'll do it. But God shut his mouth, and the only thing he could say was a blessing. Pronounce a blessing upon Israel. We find that Balaam would sell out to the highest bidder. Say whatever needed to be said. He would sell out. Trick, tempt, lie, make believe, whatever he had to do in order to make money. Balaam was a false prophet. And what Jude is saying right here, I have gone through, and if you'll carefully go through and underline the word these and they in Jude, you'll realize how much of this book is talking about these false prophets. And carefully do that, you'll see that they or these have gone after the way of Cain, and the implication is, and they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward or for payment, is all that that is saying. Again, those who would call themselves Christian ministers today, just like in Jude's day, are prophets for hire. Jude dealt with it. Matter of fact, it goes back all the way back to the Old Testament days. There were false prophets in the Old Testament days that were just as bad as Balaam, who would lie to the people just for money. When you wash off all the ugly and really see what's left, what's left is people that don't care one bit about the souls that they're preaching to. And they don't care about the fact that they are leading people down a path of destruction. I'm not trying to be mean, but I honestly believe, and this sounds harsh, but I believe that there are some who call themselves preachers of the gospel that would sell their own mama for a dollar.
Amen.
Who do not care enough about the truth to take a stand on anything. Whatever wind of popularity blows by, they jump on it and go with it. And just like Balaam did, tell me what to say, bring me the money, and I'll say it. Our airways are covered up with them. People that don't have enough backbone to stand and tell the truth. And now, when I said a few minutes ago that not all truth is of equal significance, here's some of what I'm saying. You can be wrong on a lot of things and still go to heaven, but people that will lie or deny the gospel are the worst kind of offenders that there are. Peter talks about them and says that they bring in damnable heresies. They bring in. Isn't that what it is when you deny the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ? That is a damnable heresy. It is a heresy that, if believed, will damn the soul forever. And under the guise of Christianity, there are those that, in America today, who are labeled as Christian denominations but deny the veracity of the deity of Christ, and in so doing deny the only way of salvation, that is the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be careful, dear saint, what you put in your head and in your ears and what you listen to. I may not agree with everybody about everything, but before they get a whole lot of my attention, I want to know what they believe about the gospel. Balaam didn't care about those people. He didn't care about his hearers. The only thing Balaam cared about was lining his pockets. And there's some of them on TV right now who don't care about those people out there that they're talking to. The only thing they care about is lining their own pockets. I started doing some research this afternoon and looking through something, I'm not going to name names because I don't know where to start and where to quit. May God keep Memorial Heights Baptist Church from ever allowing one to creep in unawares that has gone the way of Balaam and only cares about profit and only cares about money. I'm thankful for people. I believe this. We haven't been together forever, but I do believe this about Memorial Heights Baptist Church. Somebody come in here preaching the gospel, they wouldn't be here but a minute.
Amen.
This church, I'm thankful for people that love the truth. I'm not going to tolerate anything else. And I mean it just as sure as I'm standing here. If I get off on the gospel, you run me out of here.
Amen.
Man, I'm serious about that. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." There's a price to be paid for the truth. Now, we can draw a crowd. Now, don't you think that we could draw a crowd if we go the way of Balaam and just start telling people what they want to hear? You pay me. Tell me what you want to say and give me enough money and I'll tell you what you want to hear. You can draw a crowd like that. And then thirdly, Jude says, not only were they like Cain and not only were they ran greedily after the way of Balaam, but it also says they were like Korah. verse 11, the close of it, and perished. And the gainsaying of Korah. These are not good people that Jude is illustrating. These are not, you know, as we're transitioning from the life of Moses, and I'm studying now into the book of Joshua and the life of Joshua. We're going to begin a series into that. You see these old patriarchs of the faith and their great things that they have done, and then you see Jude bringing up these guys, and it's like the exact opposite. Twisting, here's these old patriarchs and matriarchs of the faith and the great things that they did. Now let me tell you about these three characters here. Cain, that's bad. Yeah, we'll agree to that. Balaam, rotten prophet, no doubt. But then he brings up Korah. And again, in our English translations, it may be somewhat confusing to you. In my Bible, it is spelled C-O-R-E, but that's simply talking about Korah. These are the Greek translations, the Old Testament words. Korah. You remember Korah, don't you, from our Sunday night studies? Korah didn't like Moses running the show. Korah wanted to run the show himself. And you want to draw a crowd? Start griping about management, and you draw a crowd. It wasn't long before Korah was not alone. Dathan and Abiram quickly showed up. And then if you go back, I've got it written down here, Numbers 16, I believe. You'll go back and study it. You'll find that it wasn't just Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Pretty soon there was 250 others that showed up on the scene.
Amen.
Korah accused Moses and Aaron and said, "You take too much to yourselves. You think you're something special, but you're not. Any of us can do what you do." And then Dathan and Abiram, they joined right in, and the 250 others joined right in, and they began to gripe and complain, said, "Moses, you told us you was going to lead us to the land of milk and honey, and here we are in the wilderness." Blaming Moses for everything that was wrong, when it was not the failure of Moses, was it, that led them to where they were. But they were unhappy. So they began to gripe and complain, and you know what happens when you start complaining about leadership? You draw a crowd. And that's what Jude is again addressing. Why did Jude pick these characters? Was it totally at random? Or did not God, the Holy Spirit, open his eyes to the sins of those false prophets, false teachers that had crept in and said, "Here's what they're like, Jude." God, the Holy Spirit, says, "Here's what they're like. They're like Cain, who just says, do it your own way. They're like Balaam, who doesn't care about people. They only really care about money." And they're like, who am I looking for? Korah, who drew a crowd by complaining. I cannot help it. And I had never seen this until I began studying this. That I am convinced that what I believe that Jude is saying is that these false teachers were complaining about the elders in that church or churches that he's writing to. Started complaining about the leadership of the church. You know what Korah did? Why does he bring up Korah? What was Korah's sin? Withstanding Moses. Here's God's ordained man, the man that God had called to lead the people, and here is Korah saying, "You take too much to yourself. Oh no, you shouldn't be running the show. I should be running the show." And I couldn't help, because it was right there behind where we studied 3 John, where Diotrephes again was trying to run the show, trying to run the church. And here he talks, Jude addresses this early church or group of churches, whatever that it is, and he says to them, there are those within the body there who are like Korah, who are trying to usurp the authority of the man or the men that God has placed in leadership. You want to draw a crowd in a church? Start mumbling, grumbling, and griping about the leadership. And when a church is out of order, they'll follow in behind that. When the members are in order, and let me make sure I say this, because you understand, this wasn't any public failure of Moses that Korah was attacking. It was not that Moses messed up and Korah attacks that. Moses was doing what was right at this time, and was obeying the Lord and following the Lord and doing what God had called him to do. And here Korah is complaining about that. And it's one thing if a leader messes up and people rise against him, but it's another thing when he's following the Lord and doing what's right. But then when those like Korah want to step up and say, no, you're not going to run things. I should be doing it. Sadly, I'm afraid that in too many of the Lord's churches, there are those that have a spirit like Korah. You remember what Moses, I got to mention this and I'll be through in a minute, but you remember what Moses said? Moses pretty boldly said to them, if y'all die the natural death of all men, then God didn't call me. But if you die in a new way, if you experience a death like nobody else has experienced before, then I want you to know God called you. You remember what happened? The earth split wide open and swallowed Korah and Dathan and Abiram, and the 250 others swallowed them up whole and shut up on them. And that's why he says that they perished in verse number 11. They perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Each of these that characters that he mentions in verse number 11, Cain, Balaam, and Korah, each of them suffered the judgment of God, which is what will happen to those false teachers who mislead men and women. They will face the sure and certain judgment of God.
Amen.
When Jude sees this taking place, no wonder he says, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith. When I see these false teachers doing this, I've got to warn you, contend for the faith. Truth matters. Contend for it. But then as I close, I simply say this. In opposition to the easy way to draw a crowd, there is the way of truth. You know, Jesus would often draw a crowd until what? He started preaching the truth to them. As long as he was feeding them, they was fine. You know, bread and fish, they were fine. But when he started preaching to them, the truth to them, they began to leave. You can draw a crowd by giving up truth, but it's not worth it. Jesus always spoke the truth. He always taught the truth. And he never had a whole lot on earth. You know, somebody's going to get mad at me. But I was reading about Joyce Meyer's private plane, her several multi-million dollar homes. But Jesus would tell his disciples, I don't have a place to go to bed at night.
Right.
But he taught the truth. Furthermore, unlike Korah, the ministry of Christ always bowed to the authority that God had set.
Amen.
You see these three characters that Jude cites and their failures, and then you put them up against Christ and everything's wrong about them. Thank God for the truth. And if we have anything, God, He's revealed it to us. And may God give us the grace to earnestly contend.